Presley on Mountain Men. In Alaska, Marty Meierotto was stranded by failing equipment.
You can't make a mistake and expect to get out of it unscathed when it's that cold.
There's nothing I can do. I'm screwed.
While in North Carolina, Justin continued to clash with Eustace.
I'm out of here.
As he fought to keep his slice of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
I gotta get these chainsaws in. I mean, look at it. There's water all over that thing.
And in the Rockies, Tom Orr finally got a start on stocking up for winter.
It's a tough life, isn't it?
Despite increased grizzly activity.
You gotta keep your eyes on it. You can get mauled by a grizzly bear.
There is nowhere in America that is more remote and wild than the Alaskan frontier. While out checking his traps, Marty's snowmobile broke down again.
I just quit. Never a good time for this to happen.
It could be a number of things. It isn't like, here's the problem, fix it and go.
It's pretty cold and dark. I'm screwed. I mean, the engine's fine. So, it's electrical. There's nothing I can do. It's dead.
With temperatures plunging and still 10 miles from his cabin, Marty has a choice to make. Marty can either try to fix his machine and risk freezing to death or hike 10 miles in hopes of making it back to his cabin.
So I'm going to have to walk, which really, really sucks. When you break down, it's just aggravating. It's gonna suck.
This is about as cold as it can get. I mean, that's dangerous, dangerous cold. Boy, you don't want to be out in that.
I gotta go up a couple of hills that are not gonna be any fun.
But just minutes into his journey, Marty's forced to rest.
This hill's a pretty steep hill.
I started getting more and more tired, and at one point I was only going like 100 yards at a time, and I had to rest.
I took my gloves off because my hands were hot. They had sweated. Yeah, they're froze. I have to stick them in my armpit or something, and I don't want to do that. I kind of screwed up. I should have took my bibs off and maybe took off my sweater. Because I'm getting pretty sweaty. Your clothes lose their insulating value when they get wet, so it's a bad deal to get sweaty. I just got to keep going.
To make matters worse, he has no water.
I never bring water because it just freezes anyway. And I don't want to eat snow because that might cool me off.
To fix his damaged machine, Marty will need to hike back tomorrow with a replacement engine. Realizing how long his night will be, he rests again.
I don't know how much longer I can go on these hills. I'm pretty wore out.
This is a lot. It's a lot harder than I figured it would be.
...2,500 miles south, winter has hit Montana's Yaak Valley hard.
Get this fire going in here. We'll warm this place up.
And Tom Orr has been struggling to catch up ever since.
It's a chilly morning here this morning. And I've got a lot of work to do in my shop yet. I've got skins that I've got to flesh yet. And I've got traps that need checked yet today. Oh, it's just lots of work that we have to do here.
With the closest supermarket 100 miles away, Tom and wife Nancy must live off the land.
The work never stops for me. We always need meat. So it's time to get after it.
Even though he hasn't been able to bag a deer, Tom did start filling his meat locker when he caught two beavers that were polluting his neighbor Tim's drinking water.
It's always good for a trapper to finally get something in his trap.
To say thank you, Tim invited Tom on a duck hunt down the Kootenai River.
Good luck. Have fun.
Yep.
Shoot straight.
I'll try to.
Tommy, you got everything then? You good?
I think we're ready.
This is fun because we would go down onto the Kootenai River and take the drift boats and see if we can't get Tommy into some ducks.
The only thing, Tom, don't miss.
Oh, I never miss. Do I ever miss? Have you ever seen me miss?
Most of the day, we will see water that's probably moving 6 to 8 miles an hour. So you've got a dog jumping in. That's a good run. You know, if you watch the bank and as the boat's going downstream, you'd have to be running to keep up with the boat.
The speed is nothing compared to the temperatures.
This time of year, it's wicked cold. It's about 30 degrees. Water temps are about 38 degrees. And so, you know, if somebody goes in, probably has 15 or 20 minutes, or you're going to suffer hypothermia.
Tom and Tim will float down the river rapidly.
We're going to be on a big expanse of deep, fast-moving water. It can be pretty dangerous.
If they do shoot a duck, Tom's young German short-haired pointer, Ellie, will need to jump in to retrieve the bird. It's her first time on the water.
I'd load up now if I were you guys.
You see any birds out there?
But I don't see them anywhere.
Let's go hit that bank up. Maybe there's some birds hung up in that grass.
Be ready up there. There you go. Get him. That was a good shot.
Get it, Ellie. Get the bird.
Oh.
Dead bird. Oh, she's in the water.
Ellie doesn't hesitate to jump into the current.
Find the bird. Go ahead. Good dog. Find the bird.
There she's going.
The bad news is she's never had to find the boat before.
Where's Ellie at?
Ellie. Come here, girl. Come here, sweetie. Grass freaking her out.
Come on, Ellie. Bring her here. Come, Ellie.
Ellie. Here, Ellie.
Ellie.
...2,500 miles southeast in North Carolina, hidden high in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Eustace Conway's winter season is off to a bad start. The winter rains have led to leaky barns and rusting chainsaws. They've also hampered his ability to gather food.
During the winter, there's not a whole lot of food coming in. We got lack of sunshine, we've got a lot of cold. My goal is just to survive.
Lots of stuff to do. Just do what we can do. It's all we ever can do, isn't it?
The never-ending battle is that there's always something to deal with. There's a lot of things that go on here.
Eustace calls his land Turtle Island. The 1,000-acre plot requires a great deal of upkeep. So he trades room and board for help maintaining it. And one of his helpers, Justin McGuire, has been at the center of much of this season's chaos.
I get stuck with a lot of the harder, more physical lifting jobs. I'm out there picking up twigs and sticks and rocks, you know, doing pointless monkey work that could be done anytime.
As we got to know Justin, we found an explosive, dangerous personality. It's important to be able to cover your job and your responsibility. But I don't really know if I trust Justin. If you think you know what you're doing, you might not learn too much.
Eustace has agreed to give Justin one more opportunity to prove he can become a valuable part of the team.
So here you go. Hopefully you can bring it back in better shape than you got it. He can make a different choice, calm himself down, shut his mouth, and do something in favor of moving forward. If you can get three of them in a little group, then we'll just say you got it, and we won't have to do any more shooting and waste any more bullets.
The question is whether Justin's gotten the message that this is his last chance.
I don't really have anything to prove to Eustace. I'm trying to sight in a rifle that should already be sighted in with four bullets. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
One of the patterns that Justin is working on overcoming is to know how to carry himself in the world.
Gotta get all my bullets inside of there. You have to be comfortable to make a clean shot.
I can't get this thing to stay steady.
I can't find a good spot out here to get a steady aim.
But from the start, Justin's patience is tested.
It's way off. You know, he's giving me this rifle. I mean, it's irritating.
Stupid mother.
His resentment of the task isn't helping.
Basically, I'm down to one bullet, and even if it hits a bullseye, it's the last bullet. It's a little frustrating, a little irritating.
And his frustration is mounting.
So I'm gonna go see how I did.
This rifle. Right now, I'm out of bullets, and total boondoggle.
The sight is still off, meaning it will take Justin more bullets to properly zero in the rifle.
I'm here to learn how to hunt, like, better than I already know. I'm a good shooter. I know what I'm doing out there. It's a total waste of time.
Coming up, Justin and Eustace continue to clash.
It was just a matter of time until the bomb goes off. I had to do something about it.
And Marty struggles for survival.
I'm pretty thirsty. I'm cramping a little bit.
The Blue Ridge Mountains jut up from the eastern United States like a series of towers reaching for the sky. Eustace Conway's land sits calmly next to the Cherokee National Forest in North Carolina. The huge track takes a lot of work to maintain. But he trades room and board for help from people like Justin McGuire.
What we do at Turtle Island is we learn to live off the land, and in exchange, we just work for Eustace, whatever he asks us to do. We work for food and shelter.
Empty the buckets in the urinal.
The younger man is bristled at the suggestions of his teacher.
It's not making any sense because of the jobs I'm doing. They seem kind of menial and pointless. This is hunting season. This is when we need to be gathering meat, and I'm not doing it. It's a little irritating.
But Eustace refuses to give up assigning his student the crucial role of sighting the hunting rifles.
Damn rifle.
Justin continues to let him down. Knowing he'll need 800 pounds of protein to feed everyone at Turtle Island, Eustace must head out in search of deer.
During the winter, there's not a whole lot of food coming in. We got lack of sunshine. We've got a lot of cold. My goal is just to survive.
But he's still more comfortable going it alone.
If I don't get a deer, I don't have anything to eat. So this morning, I'm deer hunting out in a tree stand. And it's nice and quiet.
This means leaving Justin to do chores, something he's not happy about.
It bothers me that Eustace isn't taking me hunting because I came here to learn how to hunt, and yet he's got me back here while he's out hunting.
With the foggy morning mist clearing, Eustace has a chance. His rifle misfires.
I couldn't believe my gun misfired. That's crazy. I've never had that gun misfire.
Further evidence that Justin didn't finish his task.
Didn't take a genius to figure out that he made some serious mistakes.
I'm not there for somebody that can't handle the amount of initiative that it takes. Because really, if they don't have the motivation, the commitment to do it, I'm wasting my time with them. I depend on my rifle.
So it's real important. This is how I get my food.
Eustace will use an old Cherokee method to track the deer.
Found a bone fragment. That's a whole different story now.
While Eustace scrambles after his prey, Montana's mighty Kootenai River is proving difficult for Tom Orr's dog, Ellie.
Find the bird, dead bird.
It usually runs over the river. Deep, fast moving water can be pretty dangerous for her, really.
Ellie, come here, girl.
Where's Ellie?
But after 5 minutes in the freezing water, she hasn't found her way back to the boat.
Come, Ellie, come. Get it, girl. Get it, Ellie.
Ellie, come here, girl.
She's a little spooked with this grass is weird.
Come on, babe.
Come on.
Load up. Load up.
Good girl.
With the dog back on the boat, Tom and Tim decide to head back to shore. There's a cold front rolling in.
The old weather turned a little nasty, didn't it?
Yeah, and how nice was it 6 hours ago?
Yeah, the sun was shining and everything. Yeah.
I know it.
The winter weather in the Rockies can be treacherous, changing minute by minute.
Hey, I'm going to run down and put an otter trap in.
Okay.
Down below.
Yeah, all
right. I'll be here a little bit.
Yeah, okay. See you, pal. Thanks, Tommy.
Okay, hey, thank you. It was fun, bud.
Yeah, always.
Oh, really?
Despite bagging a duck and trapping a couple of beavers, Tom still must find more protein to last him the winter.
If you don't get any meat, then you probably won't survive properly if you don't prepare for winter.
So he heads off into the storm. While Tom battles the growing blizzard, 2,500 miles northwest in Alaska, mountain man Marty Maierato is struggling as he hikes towards his remote cabin.
Boy, I wish this was over. I am exhausted.
With temperatures hovering at 60 below, Marty is starting to feel the toll of having no water or supplies. And the howling wolf pack he spotted earlier isn't making him feel any safer.
The mistake I made was I'm going to leave my bibs on and my parka on. And then I started getting exhausted and I'm real sweaty.
It's taken Marty 4 hours, and he's still 2 miles from the cabin.
I just overestimated my abilities.
The average man walking would have covered more than 12 miles in the same time. It's a clear signal that Marty's body is shutting down.
I can't take anything off, because if I start cooling down and I can't stay warm, then I'm in real trouble.
Well, I don't want to eat snow.
Marty's mind is going to horrible places.
It's a panic situation. I could die. I hope I can get home and see my girls. Whew.
But he keeps pressing on, hoping to make it back to his cabin. But suddenly, salvation appears.
Oh, I made it.
Yeah.
I wanted some water. I was really thirsty. I was cramping.
Water.
Oh. The greatest feeling on earth is to be warm. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If anybody ever argues that point, it's because they've never been cold. To feel that heat washing over you when you are chilled right to the bone, it's unbelievable.
The relief will be short-lived.
Now I got the machine out there, and it's a real bummer.
Morning breaks with the temperature hovering around minus 50.
The challenges of the terrain where I spend most of my time is just staying warm. It gets to a point, if you get cold, you can't hardly even warm back up.
The prospect of retracing last night's steps isn't pleasant, but he knows that to fix the machine, he needs to get moving.
But yeah, I just gotta get up there, try and get that machine.
The cost for the breakdown will be a full day's work, worth as much as $400 to Marty.
I mean, the walk is the worst part physically.
It's been below 50 below, and that's kind of in the ballpark of kind of being deadly cold. Cold makes everything harder, more difficult, more dangerous at these temps.
It just sucks.
While Marty hurries to fix his machine, in the lower 48, the storm has Nancy worried about Tom.
Tom and Ellie went duck hunting, and they're not back yet, and it's getting late enough. I'm wondering what's going on.
Chick-a-dee-dee-dee.
Oh, look down there. I think I see bear tracks. We do not need a bear in here.
The bear tracks make Nancy think the worst.
You don't know if he'll come out of it or not. I don't know what I'd do without him.
Coming up, Tim sets out in the cold in search of Tom.
I'm a little more concerned than I was before.
Tom!
While Eustace and Justin continue to butt heads.
He just really wasn't prepared with the rifle. Maybe I trusted him more than I should have.
Montana's Yak River Valley has some of the fastest moving whitewater in the state, including a series of Class 4 rapids. Tom Orr was last seen heading for its banks. A trapper by trade, he was planning to set two traps. It should have taken him a couple of hours.
Anytime Tom walks out the door, I'm concerned with how he's going to walk in the door if he does.
With her husband 4 hours late, Nancy calls their neighbor Tim, who'd been duck hunting with him earlier in the day.
Hello, Linehan Outfitting Company.
Hi, this is Nance. Have you seen Tom? Was just getting a little late. I was concerned.
I left him here in the driveway. He wanted to go set another trap. You know, it's been, that was 3 hours ago, 4 hours ago, or something like that.
It shouldn't take him that long to just go and set a beaver set.
I'll grab my stuff, and I'd feel a lot better. That's quite a while ago.
I don't know what I'd do without him.
I'll call you back when I come in.
Thanks, Tim.
If he fell in, that's my biggest thing. I mean, no spring chicken anymore, so I get uptight when he's doing this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, I'm a little more concerned than I was before.
The afternoon's sudden blizzard, coupled with increased predator activity, means Tim will head out to look for his friend.
I mean, that's the thing around here. The weather can come in so quickly and so strong. 6 hours ago, we had sunshine and it was nice, but all of a sudden, it's 28 degrees and it's snowing like crazy. It's weather right now.
Ellie!
2,500 miles southeast in North Carolina, Eustace Conway was hunting with a rifle sighted by Justin McGuire. After a series of missteps, Eustace had agreed to give the young man an opportunity to prove himself by entrusting him with the crucial job. It's backfired.
Safety's on.
I don't have as much confidence with Justin. Now we're looking for a needle in a haystack.
Eustace shot at a buck earlier in the day, but his rifle sight was off, and the deer fled.
I've never had that gun misfire.
And he was coming right towards me here. Turned up the leaves right here. Let's hope he just goes on a dominant trail down through here.
Daylight is fading, and Eustace knows that if he doesn't locate the animal before dark, it won't last the night with all the predators in these woods. So needing another set of eyes, he circled back to get his right-hand man, Preston Roberts.
Well, my name's Preston, and I've been here since the beginning. So we've been hanging out together for a pretty long time. Probably about 30 years ago that we met, and we're best friends. I'm gonna help them any way I can.
Preston and Eustace have tracked in these woods for decades.
This is really only the second time I can remember us having to get out and track a deer. So this is a real rare thing. I know it's tearing them up on the inside.
But they never had to track something for this long before.
If this deer can be found, we'll see what we can do to find it.
You don't know if you're gonna get a deer when you go out. You don't know if you're gonna get enough deer. That's just the stakes. When you choose this lifestyle, you don't know that you're gonna have food.
Well, this is encouraging. We might find this deer.
Here we go.
Got it?
Yep, right there.
All right, now we're going down a steep hill and we're off the ridge. At least he's kind of dedicated now.
It's always hard when you lose one, and we do the best that we can, and sometimes we mess up.
Not finding the deer means they'll have wasted an entire day in the woods for nothing.
Since we're running out of daylight and just drop down where it looks like he went and see if we get lucky enough to find some blood down there.
I've got to get some deer. I've got to have something to eat. This is how I get my food. If I don't get a deer, I don't have anything to eat.
Woo! Preston!
Yeah?
Found blood!
With fresh blood, Eustace is optimistic. But in Alaska, Marty is facing another 10-mile hike, and the weather's not making him feel any better about it.
At today's forecast, highs 20 to 40 below zero, winds gusting to greater than 35 miles per hour.
On any breakdown, the walk is the worst part physically, but then you're way behind. You got a busted machine out in the middle of nowhere.
The walk back to the snowmobile takes less than half as long. Marty realizes along the way how perilous last night's trip was and how much easier it is during daylight hours.
Nader!
Suspecting the machine needed a new engine, Marty's carried the 70-pound piece back. Now he has to hope he diagnosed the problem correctly.
In a perfect world, I'll put that in and I'll fire it right up. I may get this engine in and it won't start.
I'm done and I have to fly back to town.
The extreme cold makes the metal searingly cold and difficult to touch.
You work a bolt or touch a wrench, and your hands are going to be numb. Usually, it's more like seconds than minutes.
I'm trying to minimize the exposure time to metal here.
Marty has no choice but to make a fire to keep his hands warm.
I built a fire just to warm up, as you know, my fingers are pretty cold.
If you wait till your hands are freezing, you can't feel them. It's already too late to build a fire. My fingers are so cold, I can't even hold them, strike a match, or hardly do a lighter.
Come on.
Yeah, baby.
Just like magic. Having a fire's kept all 10 of these things on my hand.
Hypothermia is a constant threat in Alaska.
Once your hands get numb, it's real hard to convince your body that, hey, I'm kind of partial to these fingers. I want to keep them.
The trouble with getting in trouble in the cold is that before you realize it, you've already been in it. One engine out.
With his hands warm, Marty works quickly, installing the part in less than an hour. Next comes the moment of truth.
Now I am going to see if she fires up. Bingo, baby!
Marty heads for the cabin. The wasted day of work will cost him. He'll need to double up tomorrow.
Crap!
Just a mile into his trek, Marty senses that he may have another problem. And this one may be much more severe.
I smacked a tree with the tail of my ski and it broke. I'm just plagued by breakdowns. All I'm doing is chasing around broken machines. And now I'm essentially dead in the water.
The Northern Alaskan mountain range runs east to west in a similar pattern to the Gulf of Alaska. Mount McKinley is its highest point, but other than the occasional thrill-seeking climber, the area is mostly deserted. Marty Maiorato chooses to spend his winters here, trapping along 150 miles of this remote terrain. But so far this year, he's spent more time dealing with snowmobile problems.
Crap! This really sucks. I smacked a tree with the tail of my ski and it broke. I'm just done.
After hiking 10 miles to retrieve a new engine to fix his machine, Marty made it only a mile before his steering column snapped.
I just cannot believe this. And now I'm essentially dead in the water. But I sure ain't doing any trapping. All I'm doing is chasing around broken machines.
Now Marty must find a way to fix the problem or risk another night walking back to his cabin and wasting another day on maintenance.
Well, I gotta cut a tree and wire these ski tips together.
When the steering column snapped, it meant each of the two skis on the front of the sled were facing in opposite directions, meaning he couldn't turn left or right. But you don't spend 25 years in the Alaskan outback without learning a few tricks.
It's just aggravating.
Using a 3-foot tree branch, Marty tethers the two skis together. Now they will operate as intended, in unison.
The steering isn't going to be easy. Well, might as well get rolling.
He's down to an hour of daylight when he finally heads for the cabin.
This is a twisty, nasty trail.
While Marty spends another night on the trail, back in North Carolina, Eustace and Preston's search continues. The men have spent hours tracking a wounded deer because Eustace's rifle misfired.
That rifle has never misfired.
Eustace entrusted his worker, Justin McGuire, with sighting in his rifles for the hunt, and it appears he didn't do his job, leaving Eustace and Preston to pick up the pieces.
I've got to get some deer. I've got to have something to eat. It's real important. This is how I get my food. If I don't get a deer, I don't have anything to eat.
But this deer might end up feeding nature, you know? It might end up feeding the coyotes. It'd definitely get eaten and used, but I was hoping to be the one to eat it and use it.
Well, the deer meat's just crucial to our lifestyle. You know, I just know that that deer didn't just totally dry up. I just think it pulled a slip on us.
Woo! Preston!
Yeah?
Found blood.
This might be the beginning trail where we started it. It actually probably is. The amount of blood I found, it wasn't enough to kill a deer. There's not that much blood loss, so that deer could still be going strong. The trail dried up, the blood dried up. It's not looking too good for me finding this deer.
Resulting in a lost day of work and no meat to show for it. With darkness closing in, Eustace and Preston have to pack things up.
Yeah, that rascal dried up.
And let's head back home.
Justin didn't have much skill with the rifle. It's important to be able to cover your job and your responsibility. I don't really know if I trust Justin.
I needed to get some meat today, but trail dried up, the bud dried up, and it got dark.
In Montana, Tom Orr has gone missing along the banks of the Yak River in the midst of a blizzard.
For Nancy to call, I mean, all she has is to call over here. You know, if his knee blew out, or more than anything, I'm concerned if he fell in.
Tom left his truck in Tim's driveway when he headed to the river. That was 4 hours ago.
Tom! Really, it's kind of a nasty day, and I don't know what's happened, but I'm just gonna try and cut his tracks. Yo, Tom! Usually he heads downstream, so I'm just gonna kind of peel away. I'll have to cut through this brush. Tom! Ellie! It's not like we have cell service up here. And so for Nancy to call, I mean, really, she can't go out and pound around. In the same situation, Tom would do this for me.
Tim's house is a mile from the river. With a 4-hour head start, Tom could be anywhere within a 20-mile radius.
Ellie!
Finding Tom in such a large area means Tim must come up with a strategy. He heads for the river first.
You know, he'd climb the mountain for me. You know, that's what I would do for him. That's what he would do for me. Have to. In the end, you know, isn't that what a dear friend is about?
His concern for his friend growing with each step.
Tom! Tom! It isn't hard snow. I mean, anything could have happened. You know, easy to bust up his knee. Ellie, here! I mean, if he went down in this stuff, I mean, I'm having a difficult time. If he did this and then went into the river.
5 new inches of snow aren't helping the situation, and the going is slow.
We're just gonna have to keep legging it and see if I can find him. Tom! Ellie!
Winter storms are a constant threat in Montana. Where Tom Orr lives, an average of 4 feet of snow falls every year. But most of the storms don't come with 40-mile-per-hour wind gusts. This one did, and now Tom, along with his dog Ellie, haven't been seen in 6 hours. Tim, his neighbor, has gone looking for his friend.
Tom! Ellie! It's kind of a nasty day, and I don't know what's happened. I mean, it isn't hard snow. I mean, anything could have happened.
Tim's been in the cold for 2 hours and is starting to feel its effects.
Tom!
With just 2 hours of daylight left, he needs to start thinking about making sure he can make it back to his cabin.
I'll do the best I can, but we're just gonna have to keep legging it and see if I can find him. Ellie! This is what worries me with his bad knee, you know. This is slippery, it's cold, it's nasty. If he goes in, it could be trouble. There he is.
Hey!
Hey! You all right?
Yeah, what are you doing down here?
Hadn't seen you for 3 or 4 hours.
I was just out looking for otter sign.
I'm glad you're all right.
Well, thanks for worrying about me, buddy.
I'd have nobody to miss ducks with if you weren't okay.
While Tom and Tim head back to the warmth of home, Marty Maiorato is dealing with another machine failure. After fixing an engine problem earlier in the day,
this really sucks.
Marty is dealing with a steering column that's split in two. Using some MacGyver-like ingenuity, he wrapped wire around both skis and a branch he cut from a tree.
That'll last a little while.
This will let him steer the snowmobile.
If you leave the cabin in the morning and you don't assume you're going to break down, you're screwing up. The way I've been breaking down this year, it's like I leave the cabin, it's like, where am I going to break down? It really starts to sap the fun out of trapping if you're worried about breaking down all the time.
With only an hour of daylight, Marty's hoping to make it back to the cabin before dark.
This is a twisty, nasty trail. There are times when I feel like, what am I doing out here? I have a hard, cold day. Machines are breaking down. I'm miles and miles away from my family. There are times when I feel like, what are you doing? But even on my worst days, it doesn't take me long, and I know why I'm here.
Marty turns the corner and makes it back to the cabin.
When you leave that cabin, you don't know what's going to happen. You're at the whims of nature. It's always survival. And that's the challenge, the draw. I mean, every day is an adventure.
While Marty spends a long night at the cabin trying to fix his machine, on the other side of the country in North Carolina, it's decision time for Eustace. Justin's lack of attention to detail has led Eustace to rethink having him at Turtle Island for the winter.
He just really wasn't prepared with the rifle. Maybe I trusted him more than I should have.
Rifle.
I depend on my rifle. I don't want to go back out and have it not work again.
And he's gone back to look at how he sighted the hunting rifles to confirm his suspicions.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do about this, Justin.
Justin doesn't agree with the assessment of his work.
I mean, it's kind of frustrating and pissing me off because he gave me a rifle that should be sighted in. He just goes out hunting and didn't get the deer. I mean, it just seems kind of pointless to try to reprimand me for that.
But after weeks of clashing with everyone, constantly jeopardizing the tools the group needs to survive.
I mean, look at that. There's water all over that thing.
Eustace has come to a difficult decision.
We have a lot of responsibility during the year. One too many straws on the camel's back. And so we had to ask Justin to leave.
There's no room for irresponsibility, and I'm clear on the grounds of what's unacceptable.
It's one that Justin is none too happy about.
Well, I'm leaving Turtle Island, and I'm frustrated because, you know, I came here to learn stuff in exchange for work. I'm just doing all the working, and I'm not getting anything out of it.
After months of fighting, things will definitely be different going forward.
I, as a leader, had to make a decision for the greater good of the entire community.
I'm out of here. I'm gonna head back home and do my own thing.
Next time on Mountain Men, Eustace battles a horrible winter cold, but turns to the mountains for a cure.
When you're sick, you know, it can be dangerous. You kill yourself for making the wrong decision.
And Marty takes his life in his hands when he flies into the teeth of a winter storm.